Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue with the Rambam, Perek Vav, Halacha Beis, and Hilchos Sanhedrin, Chapter 6, Law 2. Talking about more of the what we talked about yesterday, if a bezin makes a mistake. And we talked about any bezin that was rightfully allowed to adjudicate cases that makes a mistake, that was an obvious mistake, we said that the judgment is reversed. You go back and redo it. However, what if you're not able to fix up what damage he made, whatever? The judge does not have to pay, even though he caused the damage, but he didn't intend on causing a damage. He doesn't have to repay for any loss that comes from that. Now we talk about a different type of mistake, Beis. The first case was a total mistake. He did not, he blew it. It was an out-and-out straight halacha. He didn't know it, whatever. Beis, ta'a b'shikol.
Is this one guy or three guys?
We went through it, all different types of courts, okay. Even one. Okay, Beis, ta'a b'shikol hadas. What if he made a mistake in shikol hadas? What does shikol hadas means? Looking into it in order to decide how the law should be. Kegon, for example, davershu machlokes tanoim or amoraim. Let's say it's a machlokes of the rabbis in the Gemara, different tanoim or different amoraim that lived in those days. And the law is not ruled in anyone's favor explicitly. And he ruled like one of them. We didn't know. We didn't know that the halacha has been accepted customarily to be like one of the opinions and not the one that he ruled like. So here was a case, and they call it shikol hadas. I don't know how they, by using one's logic, a mistake in using one's logic, he's calling it. So what happens over there? Here, surprisingly, Allah is going to be a little bit different. Im hayaza dayon mumcha, if this was an expert judge, and as an expert in the dinei of Torah, v'natal rishus, May Rosh Galus, and he had permission from the Reish Galusa, where the Reish Galusa, the exilarch, is able to give him permission to judge anywhere in the world, even if people don't want to receive the judgment, but he can impose that judgment upon him because he's been appointed by the Reish Galusa. Oshlohaya Natal Rishus, well, let's say he didn't get permission from the Reish Galusa, but people accepted him before they started the court case to be their judge, and they agreed to it, which is acceptable. Hoel v'hu mumche, since he is an expert, okay, and that means there was a good reason that he could get permission from the Reish Galusa, okay. So chozer hadin, we redo the judgment again. And we don't want anybody to lose out over here. Okay? So, yeah. And if you can't fix it up, as we explained yesterday, let's say the guy took the money and he's gone, and we can't go back to him. Or all the situations we gave yesterday where it's irreparable, the damage. Potter milisham. He doesn't have to pay. Echad hanotel rishus merosh golus. Doesn't matter if he got permission from the Reish Galusa. Okay, so that therefore he has permission. Or if he got permission from a Jewish court in Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, who gave him permission to do it. That is all. He got reshus from a bezdin in Eretz Yisrael. Avol below b'chusos, but he can't get permission from a court outside of Eretz Yisrael to give him singularly permission to weigh on such a law. So then Rambam is going like the Rif's position. It's very interesting. Rambam, okay, that doesn't seem to be too problematic over here. And since the commentaries say, since he had permission from the Reish Galusa, so it's in the Bezdin's domain to, as they say, make someone's money hefker, as it were, shelo kedin, because it was accepted. It was accepted to do it. And everything was legitimate. So it seems the Rambam doesn't make much of a difference in halacha aleph and beis, whether he blew the halacha, or is a mistake in shikol hadas of his understanding what the halacha should be. However, the Rush disagrees on this second halacha, and the Rush holds that anyone makes a mistake in Shikul Adas, the judgment does not go back. Because since he paskin like one of there, it was a legitimate opinion that's brought in the Gemara. So there's no another Dayan can't nullify that psak din, right. since it wasn't explicitly written in the Gemara. Like we've learned enough Gemara to see a lot of times Gemara just leaves it open as a machlokas. Right. Sometimes we're going to say no, and we hold like this rabbi. Right? So, okay, if the Gemara says cliv holy grab it, that's called blowing the halacha. But if it's not, so from the Rambam, so in other words, you're wondering, so why is the Rambam making a separate halacha? It's really no worse than halacha aleph. The answer is he's coming to exclude the Rush's position over here. The Rush's position is saying that we do not retract the version. Since the judge has an opinion to definitely rely on, even though, okay, later poskim, later the customer was to hold like a certain position, but he has his Gemara position that he felt was a correct position. So the Rambam disagrees with him and says it can be knocked back and redone, and he doesn't have to pay out for any of those mistakes. And this is all, so far, everything's been done with permission. So far, in other words, either the litigants say it's okay for us to be our judge, or he has a supreme authority that's giving him, either the position itself gives him that authority, or he's been granted that authority. That's what we've been talking about until now. And the next halachas are going to tell us where it's not exactly had the full authority to do what he did. Yeah.
So Rambam's logic that if that individual would go to any other court, the ruling would be different. So hence,
yeah, because that's the accepted ruling, you know, the customary amongst the poskim. You know, that's always what's interesting. You know, that's why you can't paskin from Gemaras. You can't paskin from Mishnayos. It's even hard to paskin now. You see, even from Mishnah Berurahs, it's hard to paskin because, you know, the Mishnah Berurah says one thing, but we see the customs who don't go like the Mishnah Berurah in many halachas. Mishnah Berurah was a great rabbi, but he wasn't the only posek hador. There were other poskim. It's already 100 years ago. And, you know, so therefore, things change. And you have to be in the know, as they were with the poskim, to know which halachas were more.
Is this a concept of appealing a judgment in Judaism?
Okay, let's go on. We'll see. It might be touched on. There's really no reason to appeal it. Well, once the Bezdin has made it, unless you have a good reason, we'll see. It will be touched on. I don't not necessarily the word appeal. Not say the word appeal, but we'll see. But here it clearly was wrong. This is not an appeal here. I mean, sort of it's an appeal, because how would the rabbi know it was wrong unless somebody told him?
It clearly is an
appeal. But it's more like, you know, I don't like the word appeal. I'll tell you why. Because the way we look at the word appeal, an appeal is the lower court said this, and the higher court says the opposite. And really, it's not like anything explicit. It's like, you know, it's just people's opinions. Like
they took a mistaken law.
But usually not. Usually, like, you know, a guy murder one, and they all said he's guilty. I'm going to appeal it. It goes to the higher one, and they try to find a loophole or a this or a that, or, you know. But this is like clear mistake was made. It's not so much. Okay, if you want to call it an appeal, we'll call it an appeal. But it's just correcting a mistake.
It doesn't get heard. It just gets reversed. Doesn't get reheard, it just gets reversed.
Yeah, because there's not a lot to do. So I don't know if you call that an appeal.
Right.
I don't know. There must be a better Hebrew word. I don't know if the English term flows with this. Technically is an appeal. You're appealing his decision because he's wrong. So I don't know if that usually...
As opposed to you disagree with it going...
And I hope I'll get to another court where the other court will see it my way. Yeah. Right? And we'll see. In a few more halachos, Rama will mention, if you don't like what they said, you can ask them for their reasoning. So we'll see. So we'll kind of hold on to that idea. Okay, Gimel now. Let's say the one who makes a mistake is a mumcha. However, he didn't get permission from the exilarch, or he didn't get permission from the Batei Dinim of Eretz Yisrael. Or the litigants really didn't accept him to be their judge. He kind of was forced upon them.
Right.
Or he wasn't an expert. But they said, listen, we'll accept you anyway. Your word's good enough. We'll accept this Torah law. Okay. So, and now v'to'a b'shikol adas. And he makes a mistake with shikol adas, with the understanding who the halacha should be like.
Right.
Okay? So now, it depends now what happens. So this is clearly a case that's not a din Torah now. Because all these cases, these people should not have been rendering decisions here. It's not like, well, I guess it was Hashem's will, the Bezdin did it this way. After all, it's a court of God. Here it's not a court of God. This court case should not have happened. Now we look at this judge as someone who has caused damage, as it were. So now we have to know exactly what happened. Im nosa v'nosan bayod. What if the judge himself takes the money from the guilty person, says, give me the $100. He takes it, and here, and he gives it to the other guy. He does it like that. Okay? So, Masha Osa Osui, what he did is done. The judgment doesn't get returned.
Corrected.
But what happens is, Vishalimi Beso, but he has to pay out of his pocket. He has to pay out his pocket, because since he took it away from the other guy, so it's not a case of reversing a halacha that a competent judge made a mistake on. It's really the judge just taking the money away from this guy. All right, it's not like a blatant error, okay? And it's like he took the money that he shouldn't have taken, and now he's got to pay back mibeso. He has to pay it out of his pocket. Now, what if imlo nosar v'nosan bayad? What if he didn't take the money and give it to the other guy? Then yachzer hadin. As long as nobody took it, then let's go back and let's undo the judgment. V'me'ef shalahachzer, if there's, for whatever reason, you can't, then yishalach mibeso. Then again, he has to pay it out of his pocket. So if he literally did it with his hands, finished. He's in hot water. He's got to pay for it. If he didn't literally take it out of his hands, as long as he didn't take it, then we try to reverse the din. And if not, and if there's no way to undo whatever loss came out, again, it comes out of his pocket.
So why, let's say one of the situations is he's a mumcha.
But he didn't have permission to adjudicate. He didn't get permission.
From
the exilarch or whatever. He didn't have permission. A single guy can't be a judge unless there's certain permissions given.
Are we talking about
given.
One guy if it's three guys?
One.
Here?
We're talking about one.
Okay, so this is only
talking about one guy over here. We're not talking about a legitimate court that's allowed to rule. And when I talk about one guy who legitimately is allowed to rule, he wasn't legitimately allowed to rule. So now it becomes his own private business that he's been doing, as it were. So now he is considered to have damaged.
But in money matters, you're allowed to rule without that. It's only with fines.
This is if people have accepted it. They have to accept it. If they don't accept it, there has to be some kind of authority. Either the exilarch gives you the authority, the bezdin agodl, bezdin gives you authority, the litigants give you authority, but here, you didn't have the proper authority to do it.
So it's like he's not bonded. It's like he's not bonded,
yeah,
and now he's
right. So now you've made mistakes.
But was accepted by the.
It doesn't say was.
No, he has not.
Or if he wasn't an expert as well.
Right.
If he wasn't an expert as well. Still isn't really, because that's not a din Torah.
Right.
If the guy's not a mumcha, he shouldn't be adjudicating cases. Even if the litigants are agreeing, so litigants are really saying, we're agreeing to have a case that's not really a din Torah.
Right.
So all of these, the common denominator is it's not a din Torah.
Yeah.
Din Torah means there is a, what do you call it? Authority involved that is vested to give that authority. And it's got to come from somewhere. Either it's inherent in the court itself, as being three mumchim, let's say with smicha, whatever, then they have their own authority to do that. Or it was given to them by powers that can give it, or by the litigants who can give it. But here he didn't have it.
So I'm trying to understand, it says he was not accepted by the litigants as an authority.
Let's say he pushed his law around. Let's say he's the law in town. He's the law in town.
Intimidated him.
You know, whatever. He's the balabos over here. He runs the city. Mayor Daley. Okay, he runs the city. He takes care of everything, you like it or not. He gets his way. And everybody goes to this guy. That's the way it was. You know, the minute was. You know, that could happen. He's a little smarter than everybody, so a lot of people go to him. And everyone's accepting him, and kind of everybody. So now he just kind of pushed himself and says, "Listen, you guys, you know, I'm going to settle it for you."
And smarter not to take the money out of his pocket to his pocket and say, "You owe him
$100." Okay, well, he didn't. He didn't. He didn't. So that's a problem. Okay, let's move on to Dal. What if guy's not a mumcha? And the baldim didn't accept him. Okay, now we didn't have that case, right?
Well, we did. We said
not a mumcha. No, not mumcha, but they did accept him, right? Not here. He's not a mumcha, and they didn't accept him. Double negative.
Right,
we didn't have that one yet.
But we've got this third part. He was given permission.
He wasn't.
Afal pish, well, not al rishus, but he can't get rishus because the reish galus is not allowed to give a guy who's not a mumcha rishus, as the commentaries say.
Yeah.
Okay. In other words, the reish galus transgressed, and he allowed that guy to. Or let's say a bezin eretz yisrael didn't realize he wasn't such a good guy and made a mistake and gave him rishus.
What does that mean? One of the men of force.
Well, I didn't get to there yet, did I?
No.
I'm only in the first line.
Oh, it's just the end of that sentence. Afal pi
shenotal rishus, even though he got permission, avol ze b'chla, harei ze b'chla, this kind of court is considered a balei zroa, a man of force, meaning to say, ve'ena b'chla, it's not even included at all in dayanim at all, and no rishus can help at all. He's totally unfit. Lefikach ein din of din. Their judgments, bechlal, nothing. This is the worst, the lowest level. The other ones were already a kind of a court. It had some kind of level, but it's not bonded authority or whatever you want to call it. But there is something to talk about. Here is absolutely nothing to talk about. The person's not an expert, really didn't have any reason to, the people didn't want him. He got permission. Well, he shouldn't have got permission. That's the only reason. That's the only reason he's in there. Otherwise, you know, if the guy's just a mumcha, okay, there's something to talk about. He knows halacha. But here, there's like nothing going for him. So that's just called like a vigilante judge, whatever you want to call him. Well, figure there ever ain't din of din. Their judgment's not a din, period. Bein tov, bein lo tov. Somebody made a mistake, didn't make a mistake. Any of the litigants, they want to go in front of a regular bezin, they can, right? That's of course if they didn't accept what's going on over here. You know, if they accepted, it's a different story. But this, they both didn't accept. So in other words, the guy, for whatever reason, maybe there was financial benefit he got, he's able to fool the Reish Galusa to give him permission to be a judge, and he's totally unworthy to be a judge. And people didn't want him to be his judge. And now he makes judgments. So they're not judgments. And if he makes a mistake and gave from one guy to the other guy, he has to pay out of his pocket because there he's intentionally wanting to harm the fellow. And then he goes back and he takes from the litigant who he gave to him not correctly. That's a little step more. Because the case before was a judgment, the scenario before we had in Gimel was a judgment, but an incorrect judgment. So okay, it comes out of the judge's pocket. Here, it's not even a correct. It's not a judgment at all. So now, what he has to do is, first of all, he's got to pay out what he took back, and then the other guy has to give back. So really, he loses out on this. He really loses. The judge loses out.
I thought that he pays back the judge.
The chozer velokeach again. Chayv l'shalmi beso. He has to pay. The chozer velokeach mi baldin, and then he goes back and takes from the baldin.
He takes the judge.
Okay, he takes back. Shnos from kolok halacha. V'im ein lo lahachzer. What if the litigant doesn't mean to give back? Oshetime oshehechol davar motzal kavim, or he made tamei, or he gave it to the dog, so he shouldn't give it to the dog. Yisham kedidin kol garim lahachzer. He has to pay like anybody who caused a damage. Shezem iskavim lahachzer. That's considered intentional damage to the fellow because he wasn't supposed to be judging these cases. Okay. One more of these mistaken things, and we've missed one whole type of mistake we haven't gotten to yet. Hey, dayin shetov v'chiyev shvu'a l'mi she'en o'chayiv bo. let's say a judge makes a mistake. This could be regular judge, any kind of judges now. Well, judges that are really judges, not like the lower last couple cases, yeah. Earlier
legitimate.
Cases.
Legitimate.
He made a mistake, and the mistake was like this. He forced the litigant to make an oath when really the guy would not have to make an oath. Okay. Now, a lot of times a judge will do that to push the head. Oh, you really say you're telling the truth? Well, if you really think you don't owe him the money, I'd like you to swear that you don't own the money. Now, a lot of Jews are very reluctant to swear, even if they're the winners.
Yeah,
they don't want to say God's name. Or it could feel, you know, oh, if that's the only way I'm going to get out of it, you know, it's not worth it. I don't want to say something, I'm going to pay. But then we find out later it was a mistake. The guy would not have... Now, the guy didn't swear. He'd rather pay. Then we find later, you know what? The guy really was never obliged to swear. The judge made a mistake. This is not a case where you make him swear. You have to swear only under certain conditions. You make an oath, different situations. And it really turned out it was a situation where you don't have to, he did not have to swear. Okay? And because of that, he paid. So let's go back. So if the judge made a mistake and made a guy swear to who really he wasn't supposed to swear, for us, pshara in baldino. So now the guy who had to swear, instead of swearing, he made a compromise with the other guy. Kidesh lo shavas, you don't have to swear. He said, listen, you know what? I'll pay half, whatever. Yeah. So not to pay. I could pay and do nothing. Let's make a deal. Then we found that he really didn't have to swear. The judge made a mistake, and he never really had to swear. And since he didn't have to swear, he could just say, I don't know him. Sometimes, you know, it depends on how strong is the complaint and the situation. Some of these guys says, get out of here. This is not my business. Let's say somebody comes to me and says, they owe me money. I owe money. Do I have to swear? I don't have to swear. I said, I don't know. You get out of here. I don't know nothing. I just go to the judge. I don't know nothing. I don't have to swear. That's...
You're not partially.
No, because there has to be a little bit of teeth, some kind of evidence to something that, you know, you think everybody just comes to you. You have to start swearing. Let's say I owe you half and I don't owe you more. Oh, but you're going to have to swear. Your motive makes us. But that's the case where you do have to swear.
Yes.
But anyway, but the judge said he had to swear, but he doesn't have to swear. Okay.
Like I owe you nothing.
So
you owe me half.
Let's say the guy acquired it with his hands, al pshara, still ain't a klum, it's nothing, he doesn't have to give him anything. I mean, the judge doesn't have to give him anything.
The judge doesn't have to give the litigant.
Yeah. Because
the litigant gets back the money that he gave as a compromise.
It's nothing. You're right. And so in the end of the day, he doesn't have to give him anything. He didn't have to give him anything.
So he gets it back.
Because he never accepted to give it to him, or to forego more rights, in order to get out of the shvuah. That mistakenly the judge made him swear. Any acquisition that was made by error, goes back and it's bottle and it's nullified. So in other words, it goes back. The oath is, in other words, he doesn't have to pay it. He paid it, it goes back. Because he only paid it because of the oath that he said he had to make. But since he really never had to make the oath, so it was a kinyan made in error, as it were. And therefore, even though he gave it to him, so this wasn't so much of a judgment. Again, it was more, it's okay, I don't want to swear. This is the kinyan I'm making. So it's like a kinyan that you make by error, it goes back.
And if you spent the money?
That doesn't tell us what happens if he spent the money.
Does the judge have to pay him back?
Doesn't say. I don't know. Doesn't say.
It's reversed because he did not have to make the oath.
Right. Since in other words, you forced
the. He did owe him the money, but he didn't want to make the oath, and wasn't obligated to make the oath.
Well, how do we know he owed him the money?
Yeah. How do you know that?
We don't know that. You can't say that statement.
Because
if we need him to make the oath, what then we need to make the oath is if we're not sure.
Okay, so we make him make the oath, but he was still. Okay, witnesses came later. He didn't owe the money.
Well, then he'll pay later based on the witness's testimony. Yeah, forget about
he
that.
He still has to pay.
We don't need anything. We don't need anything.
He mistakenly did the right thing.
He didn't have to say, oh, but the witnesses say, then, you know, we can just, it doesn't matter what you do, the witnesses will say, so you'd have to pay. That's all. Okay, yeah. Okay, now we come to the next three halachas is a different topic completely. And this is where we begin with the appeals. So let's just do one. Shnayim shnis'atzmu bedin. Two people are being very stubborn in a quarrel between them involving some kind of a judgment. Echad omer, one says, Nodun kan. One guy says, I want the judgment to be right here, right in our city, with the puny little courts we have here. Echad omer says, I don't want to go to a puny court over here. Nala lebezna gadol, I want to go right to Yerushalayim, to the big court.
Supreme Court.
I want to go to the Supreme Court. I don't want to fool around over here. You got to remember, this is going to take weeks
that's
and weeks
schlep.
To travel there and this
never
and that.
Mind that.
All that, you know, but now what do we do? And why is he saying this? He's saying, Shema yi to Ela Dayanim. Because what kind of big Dayanim over here in this little hamlet of a village over here? And they may do the judgment not correctly. Therefore, I don't want to go to this court here. So what is the law? So we force that second guy, Vidun Beiro, and we judge in the city.
Whoa.
And that's it. And obviously, for the logic is, because then you could always get out of this. The other guy's going to say, I don't want, forget it, let's not go to court.
And, dragging it out.
You know,
that may not be his reason. His reason is hopefully the guy will
But the problem is you can't make the other litigant go there.
Yeah,
it's unreasonable. It's unreasonable.
You make me go and you lose, you pay.
Yeah, but if he, either way,
but
you know, you can't make,
can
you have a court, it's a reasonable court. We're not going to say there's nobody here, it's a reasonable court. Either they have permission to judge, there has to be some permission. Either Reish Galusa gave permission, or it could be a court of 23 or a 3 or whatever. But it had to be a reasonable court, not court. But it says, why are you leaving a reasonable court? Well, yeah, maybe, you know, you could make a mistake here. In the Sanhedrin HaGodol, you're probably not going to make a mistake. I want to be absolutely sure we have the total law. Well, that guy can make a lot of money this way. If we would have to go to Yerushalayim, he'll go for everybody nickel and dime for these cases. And schlep them out, and he'll get them to pay him off, and so that won't work. But we don't totally disregard that maybe this court makes a mistake. Vimar, what if he says like this? Kisvu, okay, judges, I got to go here, fine. But you're going to write down the ruling. Utnuli me'ezetam dantuni, and I want you to say for what reason you made the judgment that I lost. I want you to give the logic.
If he loses.
If I lose. In other words, I'm going to go to court. I don't think you guys are such great judges. But, okay, I can't force them to Yerushalayim. I understand that. But when you make the ruling, I want you to say, the ruling was based on the Gemara this, the Shulchan Aruch this, blah, 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 blah. And we rendered our ruling based on the following reasons. All right? No, I want that because Shema Te'isim, because maybe you made a mistake. So they are obliged to oblige him. Kosvim, they have to write it, Vinosim lo, and they give it to him, Ve'acher kach motzin mimena. And then they take from him, what are they taking? I guess they take the money from him?
If he loses, if he wins, they want to take.
And even if they both agreed in the beginning to judge over here, once the guy is chayef and he wants them to write it, they have to give it to him, because that's the biggest chutzpah in the world. I'm not sure what does he mean there when he says, Vachach motzin mimenu. Then they take it from him. Do they take it back from him? Not exactly sure. What does your English say over there?
It's not clear. They take the money.
What? Yeah. They must write down the rationale and give him the time. Afterwards, they expropriate. Oh, they expropriate the oath. They take the money. They take the money. Okay. They take the money. In other words, let's say he don't want to go to the court. I don't like this one. Well, you got to go. Fine. Okay. If I lose, you got to write what the reason is. So they write the reason. Okay. Here. You lost. Here's the reason. Now give us the money. Now. Vim hutzrach lishol dover v'beis nagol v'shalayim. And if for whatever reason, that's it. Finished. And they write the reason. And now what if vim hutzrach lishol dover v'beis nagol v'shalayim? What if the lower court that's in the city, they need to ask, they're maybe not sure what the Psak Halach is. They don't know. So they're going to ask the Bezdin HaGadol. So what do? The lower court, they send in, they hear everything that's going on. Okay? In other words, lower courts, they could be handling cases that are too difficult for them. So, but still, why do we make, they're not going to say it's too difficult for us, now you go to Yerushalayim and deal with it. No. They hear everything and say, you know what? This is too hard for us. We're going to write the whole transcript of the court trial. We're going to send it to Yerushalayim with all the facts, and they're going to give us the answer. Okay? So, Kosim, Yishalchim, Yishalim, V'doylam, V'irim, Kifi, Mashiav, V'iksav, Bezan, Gol. And based on what the Bezan HaGodol says, how to deal with it, that's how they judge. Now, you have to be very careful how you understand halacha. So, who's making the judgment? Is it the lower court or the higher court? It's the lower court, correct. The Bezan Godel can't render the judgment. Why not? Because, the litigants have to be in front of them. So rather, the Bezan Godel says, we would tell you how we would rule in such a hypothetical case. Okay. And then, based on our suggestion, the lower court says, oh, now we have precedent or whatever, we have the legal counsel. And then they make that law. So even though, what's interesting, the Chiddush is, even though the lower court really doesn't know the judgment, they can still force the litigants to go in front of them, and they can get understanding of the law from the higher court, and they have to pay out based on that. Okay, this is still a B'medvar Mamurim, but we're going to have to leave that for next Sunday, Amir Tzishan.